You're listening to Nashville Public Radio. I'm Jason Moon Wilkins. So it's the end of the year. Time for Critics List, Best Of, Top Tens, but we're going to take a slightly different approach and ask a question. What did Nashville sound like in 2017? Now, that doesn't mean a single artist or album, but what was a town talking about when musicians gathered at the back of bars or industry folks debated over extra-long lunches? And here to help us figure out what it is this year is D. Patrick Rogers, editor of the Nashville Scene, and Marissa R. Moss, contributor for Rolling Stone, American Songwriter, among many others. Marissa, I wanted to start with you, and not just because I've been reading a lot of your tweets lately, which have been getting a lot of response about the lack of women represented on country radio. But in your opinion, what is the biggest conversation that has dominated Nashville music and the Nashville music scene in the last year?
Well, I think from the country's perspective, which is where I focus a lot of my time, is who was making noise and who wasn't, with a lot of issues that were coming up this year, whether it was gun control in the wake of the Route 91 Harvest shooting, or whether it was Charlottesville, or whether it was women's rights and the Me Too movement. It was sort of looking at who was being heard and who wasn't, and who was speaking out and who wasn't through song. You had people like Margo Price putting out songs like Pay Gap that analyzed what was at stake for women in the world.
It's not that I'm asking for more than I'm owed, and I don't think I'm better than you. Say that we live in the land of the free, but sometimes that bell don't ring true.
But then you had, you know, numerous country artists that were dead silent in the wake of the Route 91 shooting. Many of which align themselves with NRA Country, which has an office here in Nashville, and that, you know, tries to pair up artists, country artists, with issues that the NRA itself lobbies for. And they're in a real position to speak to their fan base that are invested in those issues, but they're not doing that.
Well, and to that point, I know that it seemed like a lot of people were waiting for that. But you pointed out something in an email to me about a song that Luke Bryan had, and sort of maybe an unexpected political take that you thought got maybe a little underrepresented this year.
Yep. Luke's new record just came out, and he has a song on it. You know, he has a lot of different very Luke Bryan-esque lyrics about tailgates and that sort of stuff. But then he also says that, I believe you love who you love, there ain't nothing you should ever be ashamed of.
I believe you love who you love, ain't nothing you should ever be ashamed of. I believe this world ain't half as bad as it looks. I believe most people are good.
Because that's pretty bold for a very, very mainstream country artist to come out and say and support. If you read into what he's saying that love who you love, whoever it is, regardless of gender. And no one really caught on to that, and I thought that was kind of bold of him.
Well, and you also mentioned, Patrick, that you felt like in some ways the Me Too movement that made such a huge impact above and beyond the social media hashtag this year was represented in some of the other music that was there. Bands like Daddy Issues, bands like Bully, female-fronted bands, female artists, like you said, their music really reverberated amongst musicians and amongst a lot of the folks who really pay attention in Nashville.
Absolutely. And if you're having that conversation, you have to mention Kesha, who had this massive comeback record this year after, you know, her much publicized legal battles with her former producer, Dr. Luke. Her song Praying on that record is just, it's a song of redemption and forgiveness. Obviously, she's not referencing her, you know, the allegations or the legal battles directly, but, you know, if you're paying attention, you know how much that song means.
'Cause I can make it on my own. I don't need you. I find a strength.
Well, when it comes to looking forward, one artist who I saw pop up again and again, and I know that, Patrick, you mentioned, and help me make sure that I'm pronouncing this correctly, Arlamar.
Arlamar.
Oh, I feel so good that I did that. Do you feel like he's in a position to be one of those artists we're talking about at this time next year?
I mean, it certainly seems that way to me based on what I've heard so far, I mean, he's a really gifted songwriter, a really great voice, and he cares about things like, you know, production and, you know, his presentation. And that's something that there's been an upcrop of in the past year is more local pop. But it's these artists who aren't really necessarily fitting into the sort of mold we see with scenes in Nashville. You know, there's been plenty of punk bands. There's an underground punk movement. There's been obviously country and singer-songwriter. But a guy like R. Lamar just sort of shows you, you know, wow, this is just sort of a raw, genuine talent, and he's kind of out there road testing it. And I do expect to hear more from him next year.
Well, thank you so much for being here and for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Of course, we're happy to do it.
Thank you so much.
That was D. Patrick Rogers, editor of the Nashville Scene, and Marissa R. Moss from Rolling Stone. I'm Jason Moon Wilkins. Force me with your hand.